In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. A challenging word of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. For a door, Paul says, a great door, spacious and broad, and an effective door, active and powerful, is open to me. And there are many other doors. That is, in the sense of the Antichrist. I went with a cheerful truck driver who pulled out after the road stop cafe in the middle of the night for a bite to eat. Halfway through his dinner, he noticed that entering the cafe were a bunch of wild-eyed motorcyclists. Bearded, leather jacketed, filthy with flat stickers adorning their chests and their helmets. No reason at all, as the driver sat there eating his meal, they chose him as their target. One poured pepper over his head. Another stole his apple pie. The third deliberately upset his cup of coffee. Truck driver never said a word. Got up, paid his check, and left. More than the invader sneered, that trucker ain't much of a fighter. And the guy behind the counter, he turned to the night, through the window, said, I don't think he's much of a driver either. He just ran his truck right over three motorcycles. Well, in a very human sense, that man sees the opportunity. That certainly isn't what Paul is talking about in our text for today, but he is talking about opportunity. He's also talking about the opposition that accompanies opportunity. He tells us in the text that opportunity is megalo. It is greater, spacious, it is broad. There is so much for him and for the people of God to do. And he says, in a sense that in a verse, he says, it offers a rich, promising field of labor. So active, so powerful, so much of an opportunity. And we are to not tiptoe out into the night and upset the appetite or gain our revenge. But on the other hand, seize those opportunities. Look at life and at our ministries with opportunity eyes. Knowing that it will be accompanied by opposition. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, following the love chapter and the discussion of the gifts and worship and Holy Communion, and the great 1 Corinthians 15 of the witness of Jesus' death and resurrection and what that calls us to be and do. After all of that, this is not an addendum. This is just as important. For he tells the Corinthians that in seizing the opportunity, in recognizing that they have a ministry to do, it may be nothing more than waiting until he comes, getting their act together, but more than that, giving weekly aid to the relief of Christians in Jerusalem or Palestine. Because Paul sees that as an opportunity. Not as a dreadful weekly chore. He says in our text, I've read to us that he's personally looking forward. He can't wait to get back to camp. It's going to take a while. It's going to take maybe two spring and winter before he gets there. Because there is some opportunities in Ephesus that he just can't pass on. And when we go back to Acts chapter 19 and we read about those opportunities and we read about Paul's ministry in Ephesus, starting in Acts 19, verse 10, and the miracles that through the Spirit of God he performs, the healings that occur, the exorcism, the conversions, the word says in verse 20, that word of the Lord grew and prevailed mightily. Paul sees that opportunity. And that is the real call today, to look at life, to look at our time here, to look at unity. Knowing, as that 19th chapter of Acts also records, that there will be opposition. Paul confronted it at Ephesus. The silversmith Demetrius set the people's anger wild at Paul and had the audacity to come in and try to get rid of the gods and ruin their businesses and incite the people to riot. But Paul had it all in proper perspective, as you and I need to have it in perspective. He saw things with opportunity on, knowing full well the opposition, because we, the spread of the gospel, could not be thwarted. The gospel he told the Corinthians well off the bat in the first chapter of that letter to them is a stumbling block to Jews and it's foolishness to Gentiles, but the power of God to those who believe. And the opportunity, as Dr. Matthias said yesterday, to become a top theologian, to be a part of the spread of that gospel, to be a part of the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified, knowing that the enemy is Satan. He is, in that sense of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the anti-terminal. He is the son of perdition, Paul says. He opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. When I first heard the phrase opportunity eyes, it came from the lips of Dr. Ed Westcott, as he's wont to do in lifting high the ministry of world missions. And here's the example of the difference between opportunity and seeing everything as an opportunity that the gospel gives us, and some chore or drudgery, or for that matter, even prayer. As the example of what is happening in the southeastern part of our country and all the Cubans and Haitians that are coming into our land. A problem for the people in Miami and in Florida, a problem that I experienced living out in Arizona that was happening with Mexicans coming across the border into the United States from that angle. And he said, isn't it something that when we are not able and not permitted to take the gospel into Cuba, into Haiti, that brings in peace. Bringing them to us, seeing it that way, we start developing opportunity eyes. Because Jesus is that door Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. Jesus is the one who has opened heaven and eternal life to all. He has won the forgiveness of sins for us, and we celebrate that every day. I am shocked and surprised that some of us walk around here on campus with our tails between our legs, your head bowed down. Not in reverent form, I might add. Every day is a celebration of our new birth into Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has seized the opportunity. And in conquering all for us, in gaining us the victory, we are to be the ones who celebrate and to seize the opportunity. We are the ones who are blessed with constant opportunities to know it, to confess it, and to live it. And some of you who have come from first careers to a whole new life, given up many things to do so, maybe can relate to this more than anything else. But God opens those doors, and God gives us those opportunities to do something totally different with our lives, to follow his call at this point in our lives, to become pastors in the church. We'll see that. And all that goes with it, and a lot of opposition, because Satan's going to throw those things up at us. He's going to throw the pressure and the burden of never having enough money at us, of not being able to clothe our families the way we want to, and we see everybody in Clayton and Nadu doing. He throws up at us our self-pity and our depression. He wants us to be defeated. You know, it doesn't want us to seize those opportunities. That's precisely the time, my friends, when we need to constantly look to Jesus pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I guess that's what I'm calling us more than anything to do today, to look at things with opportunity eyes. Each day that the Lord gives us, each opportunity to serve Him here or wherever we're placed. Oh, how I think back in my own ministry, the opportunities lost. Those times you really kick yourself. And someone says, would you mind going and seeing a friend of mine? Would you mind next time that you're at the hospital stopping in to see cancer? And you think, oh, that's someone ever thinks to do. And you know you get around it, and maybe you don't. Missed opportunities. It's happened to me more than once. But my failure of not going, proclaiming the gospel, offering the healing hand of love and compassion, has made it so that someone has gone without the gospel at that moment of need because I was too busy or didn't seize the opportunity, and a couple of times even to their death. And I thank God for His forgiveness to me. And it'll happen to you too when you get too busy and when your priorities get mixed up. But it starts right now in your homes and on campus here and everywhere else to seize the opportunity, to rewrite this opportunity eye, to see that everything that comes before us, God places into our hands. When we hear that call in tomorrow's epistle, to be watchful, stand firm in the faith, courageous and strong, that will be the time, again, to heed God's call, to see our wonderful Savior blessing us with so many opportunities, just as He sees those opportunities, most of all, to love us completely and to gain for us salvation, giving us that ministry. Praise God when we heed His call, when we follow those opportunities, and when we serve Him. Amen. The peace of God that comes with that, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Be wise to pray.